Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, good Friday afternoon. I'm Joe Bender. Thank you so much for listening to Connecting Faith today. We are just so enjoying the summer here, and we are enjoying the sunshine that we're going to have all weekend long. Well, it's about halfway through the summer. I've quickly blown through my list of fun things to do, which is what I title my list about every summer with my kids. We've been to the water park. We've read books. We've gone to a movie on a rainy day. We've visited some new parks and places we've never been to. And it's getting to the point where I might need a vacation. So I'll schedule that maybe coming up, the mom vacation. Because being a mom sometimes involves these cruise director skills. And I admit that entertaining has never really been my forte, but I'm learning. The question is, does it really have to be my forte or any mom's in order to consider myself a good mom? Well, I recently spent some time at my friend's house, and she had this three-ring notebook. It was full of fun day ideas and camps and all of these activities for her kids. And I thought that maybe my list of fun things to do was a little lacking. I'm not sure why we do that, but I started to think maybe I'm slacking as a mom. My mom had a different parenting style. She usually planned things and introduced us to new places, but basically when summer came, she kind of kicked us out of the house as soon as breakfast was over and did not expect to see us until around 6 p.m. Well, at 6 p.m., because if you were late, then you were in big trouble. Basically, we found our own fun. Well, is there a right way to parent? And if so, how can we know which way is best for our kids? And is it the same for each of our kids? Well, my guest for today would say that there is not a one-size-fits-all kind of formula when it comes to mothering or parenting, and that finding our own parenting style is not only part of the journey, but can be freeing as well. Freedom from that comparison and freedom to be the mom that God created you and I to be. Let me introduce you to her, and I will get started with the show. Melinda Means is a writer, a speaker, and a blogger on mothering at Mothering From Scratch, which is motheringfromscratch.com. She's also a women's ministry director at First Alliance Church in Port Charlotte, Florida. In addition to being an author, she also is a successful blogger, a team leader of Moms Together, a highly interactive Moms Facebook group, and a regular contributor to the Mom Initiative and More to Be, which is a mentoring site for mom and young women. Melinda lives in Florida with her husband and two teenage children. Welcome, Melinda.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Joe. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. We've had Melinda on before and talking about her book, Mothering from Scratch. And I was just telling Melinda that it really struck a chord. It strikes a chord each time I sit down with my friends wondering, are we doing what we should be doing as moms? Should we be doing more? Why is that theme just, it's coming up all the time. Why does that happen?
Well, you know, I think for me, at least, I have always wanted, you know, we all want to be a really good mom. I mean, that's our, the desire of our heart. But I think what happens is that sometimes we don't always know what getting it right means. What does it mean to be a good mom? What does it mean to get it right? And so we tend to just look at other people who seem to be doing it better than we do and who are probably feeling just as insecure in their mothering as we are. But what I have found is that comparison just robs us of our joy in mothering. At least it certainly has for me. And the more that I've been able to really embrace the mom that God made me to be, That was the turning point for me. As I gradually began to do that, I began to really enjoy my kids more, just feel more relaxed in being a mom, and not feel like I had to just keep trying to meet these unrealistic expectations that I usually, it wasn't even others' expectations of me. It was my own expectations of myself that I never seemed to be able to meet because I just kept raising the bar.
Oh, I would concur. I think my own expectations are my worst enemy. I don't think there's other moms who are saying, "Ooh, she should be doing more." It's me. I'm the one who's putting the pressure on myself. And it's also your message that we all kind of have our own unique parenting style It seems kind of countercultural to other parenting books that we may read that gives you a five-step plan on how to get your kids to eat vegetables or how to get your child to sleep. I mean, it's almost a little more constricting when they're babies and kind of just getting started than now when we have teenagers, or I have an almost teenager, where it's becoming a little more freeing in that I get to look at really what trips their trigger, what do they like to do, and it's a lot easier. But in those beginning stages, it feels like I'm supposed to be following a how-to manual.
Absolutely. And you know, I think I mentioned it in the book, Joe, but there was a point where I had like 30-plus parenting books on my shelf. And I devoured every parenting book I could find because I just thought, if I can just figure out this formula of how to have these great, amazing kids and be a great, amazing mom, then, you know, everything's going to work out, you know, fine. And, but what I found was I would, like you said, I would try to like follow the formulas and they wouldn't work. And I think, but instead of thinking, well, you know, maybe that method just doesn't work for me or for my kids, I would think I'm doing something wrong. I'm a failure, rather than identifying the method as being the problem. It was me that was the problem.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, we also tend to kind of take that on if our child is doing well in a particular area. Well, we like to take credit for that as well.
Right. Exactly. But you know what? I think we have, at least personally, I find that I have the tendency to be much more likely to take credit for their mistakes and for their faults than for the good things that they do. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as moms, we can be really hard on ourselves, and we think it's all our fault when things go wrong, but we don't, you know, we're less likely to recognize the things that we're doing well.
Mm. I think about just even, so I have two boys, and the first one is when I read the stack of parenting books as well. And, well, really the stack of how do I get my child to sleep books is what I read. How do I feed him correctly? Things like that. And I had one mom who was going through this journey with me, but she already had two children. So she'd been through this. How do I get my kid to sleep and wake at the right time? And I remember sitting on her couch just crying my eyes out because I was doing everything she was doing, but my son was not doing what her son was doing. And it was, of course, how can you not look at that situation and think, well, it's got to be me. It must be me. There must be something that I'm doing wrong. So it's a difficult position to be in.
It is. It definitely is. And, you know, and I think that's so important, what you said a couple times, Joe, about our kids being so unique because, you know, just like God's made us unique as moms, He's made our kids very unique. And, you know, one of the things I've learned is that we are really role modeling for our children. So if I'm not role modeling for my kids that I am comfortable and confident and joyful in who God made me to be, then that's hard for them to accept and be joyful in who God made them to be. And, you know, my daughter is very different than me, very, very different personality. And I really struggled a lot in the beginning, and especially as she hit the middle school years, with really embracing who she was, because it was so different from me. And it really set up some big power struggles between us, because who's going to react well when they feel like you don't really like who they are? I think she felt like I loved her, but that I didn't really like her. And as God began to work on me about embracing who I was, He just really opened my eyes to the fact that I wasn't doing that for my daughter. And it was a huge turning point when I began to just begin to accept her for who she was, not try to control her, celebrate her personality, even though it was very different than mine. So it's not just about us, it's about our kids too. You know,
Such a wise word. I'm talking to Melinda Means today. She's the author, co-author of a book called Mothering from Scratch, Finding the Best Parenting Style for You and Your Family. We'll chat more with her when we come back on Connecting Faith. If you're listening along and you think, gosh, it would have been nice to hear about some people who had some stories to tell, well, maybe you have your own to tell. We'd love to hear it. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number here, 877-933-2484. Share your story about parenting and finding your own style, or if you'd like to get a copy of Melinda's book, we have just a few to give away. You can give us a call, and Carissa will set you up in that way. We'll be back in just a couple minutes on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Joe Bender, and today I'm interviewing Melinda Means. She's the author of Mothering from Scratch, Finding the Best Parenting Style for You and Your Family. Melinda also blogs on her website, Mothering from Scratch, and just has a wealth of information with subjects that so often touch my heart that I feel like she's stealing my thoughts and putting them down on paper. So if you are a mom and thinking some of those same thoughts, you should check it out at motheringfromscratch.com, or you can just go to our website at myfaithradio.com, and we will have a link to learn more about Melinda. So Melinda, one of the things that you had mentioned earlier in the show was that you were kind of moving along as a mom. Maybe you had some of your own goals and dreams, and then your first daughter hit middle school, and that kind of changed some things. I found that a lot of my friends whose children are becoming teenagers, and maybe it seems like we should have a little more freedom to pursue our dreams, that's when they need us even more. So there's that conflict of, wait a minute, I've kind of held back a little bit on what I wanted to pursue, and now my kids need me even more. Can you talk about that conflict a little bit in your own life and how you've worked through that?
Absolutely. That's a subject that's really close to my heart because you're so right about how when our kids hit middle school that get older, we kind of think, oh, well, you know, I'll have a lot more time. Everything will kind of free up. And I had the experience of when my kids were really little, I went really hard after my dreams, after my writing dreams. I was working out of my house. And that sounds like all dreamy and wonderful to work out of your house, but when you have little ones, it's not always so dreamy because it's not so easy to get things done. And I would just get really frustrated that they were getting in the way of me being able to get my stuff done. And God really convicted me of that. And it certainly wasn't an overnight process, but gradually he just began to open my eyes to the fact that, Melinda, they are not the interruptions. Okay. They are what I have given you to do right now. And the dreams that you have, you can still pursue those, but maybe the way you're doing them right now is not what I have in mind for you. And that was a really hard thing for me to accept. It didn't mean that I had to give it all up, but there were things that I knew were getting in the way of my family, and I had to put those on the back burner. And that was, by the time I did it, it wasn't nearly as hard as I thought it was going to be because God really worked on my heart on that. But, you know, I think, and then when my kids got older, I felt like, okay, like you said, it's time now. I can start doing some of these things. And I ran into I began to do those things and write more. And then my daughter, I just hit a really rough patch with my daughter in middle school. And I felt like God again was saying to me, put it on the back burner. And I think I did. This time it was easier, though, because I knew that God was saying, just push pause. This does not mean that I'm telling you to give up this dream or to not pursue this. It just means right now I'm asking you to push pause. And I began to trust that he was going to bring those opportunities back when the time was right. And so I think for me it was really just learning that if I'm following God in what he's directing me to do with my dreams, he's going to bring those opportunities back when it's best for me and for my family.
I love you wrote just a couple of sentences I'm going to read here in one of the chapters of your book. It says, we want to offer you hope if this is the way you're feeling. As mothers, we'll always have talents and intellect and aspirations. They don't become obsolete or grow less useful. They won't spoil. On the other hand, children are more like ripe little berries, freshly picked in the sun. When their time is here, it's here. And when it's gone, so are they. And I've started to have this countdown mentality in my head, and I don't even know if it's healthy, but I have a 14-year-old, and so I only have 4 summers left with my boy. And so it has changed the way that I kind of approach what we do, how we spend time, camps I want to or don't want to send him to. And uh-huh. it has affected my mind in a way that I think is good. But just a realization of that time flies so incredibly quickly. And what a blessing it's been that I've been able to have these summers. I teach, so I have so much time in the summer to be able to spend with them, but it's still going far too quickly.
Well, I so understand that because my oldest is 19, so this last year was the first year that she's been gone. And, you do realize just how quickly it goes. And my son is 16, and so, I just want to encourage younger moms, because I've been that younger mom who's thinking, oh, I'll never be able to really pursue things, or I'm regretting that I'm not doing more, of this or that I really want to do. And I'll tell you, I do not regret putting things on the back burner. From an older mom's perspective, or from a mom who's with older children, those are not things that I regret. I have other regrets, but putting my dreams on hold when I felt like God was leading to me to for the best interest of my family, that I don't regret.
Hmm. So when you were looking, even when they were little, I feel like those were the days when I was kind of hanging on by a thread in the summertime. By this time, by the 1st of July, I was pretty much wishing that September would come very quickly, because it was exhausting. It was exhausting to kind of keep them entertained and make sure that they were, napping appropriately and eating good foods. And it was an overwhelming amount of just responsibility that I hadn't really thought about before. You used to think, as you were a single or when you were a child yourself, a teenager, that you loved summer because there was nothing to do. And yet I was finding that the nothing to do plan was not working.
Yes, I feel your pain, Joe. Summer has always been a big struggle in my family, and I think it is in so many moms. I mean, for me personally, I I've always pretty much worked out of my home, which can be a blessing and a curse sometimes. And my husband was a teacher and is a teacher, so he's usually home during the summer, and then I have 2 kids that are very, very different, but, so trying to get them both on the same page has always been challenging. But I think no matter what our situation as moms, that can be really challenging. Mm-hmm. And so, I can't come from the expert standpoint of I've got it all figured out, but I have learned some things that have helped me along the way, and I have learned from other moms. I mean, I know we say not to compare and not to try to copy what somebody else is doing. But if it works for your family, then we can really learn from what other moms have done.
Mm. Well, and one of the things that I think was most helpful for me, just trying to figure out what to do with my kids, was to ask those moms who had kids maybe just a year or two older than mine, and one of the best pieces of advice I received from one of those great moms was just if you can just have a change of scenery. Once a day, find a change of scenery. And so when your children wake up from their nap, go somewhere, do something, find somewhere to be that's different from where you were earlier. And it changes the perspective so much. And I found that that's really worked even at the ages my kids are now, at 10 and 14. If they seem bored or they don't have anything to do or they're not liking any of the things that I have planned or they're tired of their activities, if we just go somewhere different, even if it's a park or a lake or a beach or we find something to do, then they kind of perk up and so do I. And it's good for us to perk up as well, isn't it?
I love that. Yes, I was going to say that's helpful for us as adults often too. So it's not just for the kids. Sometimes that change of scenery can change our perspective as well. But you know, one thing too that I have that I found did work well a lot of times with especially when my kids were younger, is, you know, we don't want them sitting in front of screens all day. And so, you know, just limiting their screen time. But then you run across, well, then what do we do with them? You know, they're going to say they're bored. And and what I found was I would, at the beginning of the summer, I would sit down with the kids and say, okay, I want you each to make a list of things that you would like to do this summer. I'm talking about just everyday things, not necessarily going to Disney World, but just, you know, going to the library, doing slip and slide in the backyard, having a play date with friends. And so then I would put them on the refrigerator, and when they would say, I'm bored, I don't know what to do, I would direct them back to the to the list on the refrigerator. Hey, these are the things you said you like to do. These are not things I'm giving you. These are things you said you'd like to do. So what on that list sounds good to you right now? And I found it helped. Sometimes as moms, we think we have to fix everything. And I felt like it helped them to kind of solve their own problem of being bored.
That's such a great idea, and I'm reminiscing in my mom's words are in my head, where when we said I'm bored, she would say something like, then fix it, then find something to do, get unbored.
Right.
And it was probably
right.
Just,
I'll find something for you, right?
You never wanted her to find you something to do. We're going to take a quick break, talking with Melinda Means today and her book, Mothering from Scratch, Finding the Best Parenting Style, for a story to tell or something, some helpful information on how you can keep your kids busy in the summer. We'd love to hear from you. I also still have just a couple of books to give away of Melinda's book, Mothering from Scratch. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or go to myfaithradio.com. You can click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you can submit your name that way as well, and we'll try to get one of these books in your hands or in the hands of someone who is maybe a new mom and can use some uplifting encouragement from Melinda and her co-author, Kathy Helgemo. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith.
Listen to your mother. It's a scary world out there. Mother knows best. One way or another, something will go wrong, I swear.
Well, that's a little funny little song from Tangled, the Disney movie. And mothers usually do know best, except I feel like sometimes I do not know best. I have to admit it. Maybe you've had this internal dialogue taking place in your mind saying, oh, I've fallen short again as a mom. I should have done that better. I should have tried this, or I should have tried that, or maybe I should have tried to be a little bit more like her. Well, if you're a mom who seems like you've had these thoughts, this show is for you. I'm talking to author Melinda Means and her book, Mothering from Scratch, Finding the Best Parenting Style for You and Your Family. So Melinda, practically speaking, how do we start to find our own style?
Well, there's a few things that come to mind. And I would say a really good place to start is to do a personality test. And I know probably your listeners are thinking, oh, I've done a lot of those. And I have too. But I have to tell you, every time I do one, I learn a little bit more about myself because we're always changing too. God's always doing things in our lives. And even though our basic personalities are the same, sometimes our strengths can change as we grow. And I mentioned a few personality tests in my book, but I have to tell you, I've discovered one since the book came out that I really love. And it's called the DISC, D-I-S-C, personality test. And what I love about this test, Joe, is that, you know, how most of them just tell you, you know, your personality type. But what this one does is it splits it into two sections, where the first section is, it's called who I am. So this is who I really am. And then the second part of the test says, this is what I think is expected of me. So this is what I put out to the world. It's not really me, but it's who I think others expect me to be. And I found that really enlightening. I found that it can really reveal ways that we are being inauthentic that maybe we don't even realize.
Hmm.
So I thought that, you know, I think that's a great place to start, even if you've done tests in the past.
Oh my goodness, my husband and I have a business and every employee has to do the DISC test. That's how mm-hmm. we choose employees. So we love the DISC test. My husband is uh-huh. off the charts I and has no S and C, and I'm really strong in S and C with a little bit of D. So we figure God made us perfectly to be together.
There you go.
Well, no, we can just get a lot of things done together. Because he has told me, as we've kind of looked into this, that you can have the exact same profile and still be in love. It's just that you might not get things done in the most efficient manner.
Right, because you balance out each other's strengths and weaknesses,
right.
too. Right.
So I like that one, too. I remember taking the StrengthsFinder test, and when I received the little report back, I read through it, and I said, that's not me. No, that's not me. And then I handed it to my husband, and he read through it, and he said, oh, yeah, that thing is spot on.
Yeah, yeah. We can't always see those things in ourselves as clearly as other people can. Right?
So how does knowing a little bit more about our personality help us to define our parenting style a little bit, or even just kind of give us a break to know that we might approach a subject very differently from someone who scores differently on one of those tests?
Well, what I have found is that it really helps me to redefine failure. You know, we talked earlier about how sometimes as moms, so often as moms, that we can feel like we're failing at things. And when we better understand our personalities, I think we can see that maybe what we feel like we're failing at is actually just an attempt that didn't fit our personalities. I mean, I think about when my kids were little, I would, you know, I thought that the key to getting them to do their chores and do all these things was to do these sticker charts. So I'd come up with these elaborate sticker charts and, you know, try to come up with all these great rewards and things like that for different things that they would do. And usually after about a week or a week and a half, I would forget to put the stickers on the chart. The kids would forget about it. It just didn't fit. And so instead of thinking, you know, these sticker chart things just don't work for my family, I would end up feeling like I can't get it together. Why can't I stay better on top of these things? And what I've realized since then is that just did not fit my personality. I am not the most organized person. So trying something like that just was doomed for failure. So, you know, when I think we can find more confidence in our mothering when we can say, okay, well, what works for me? And what worked for me, instead of having to do all those charts that I had to keep track of, was to do something a little more flexible, where, and this really worked well with my daughter, my very social daughter in middle school, where I would say, you know, she'd say, can I do X this weekend, Mom? Sure, but there's three things that you have to do before Friday if you want that to happen. You know, you're absolutely welcome to go, but you have to do X, Y, Z. And that worked so much better with my personality. And it, like I said, and then I didn't feel like I was failing. I felt like I'm working within what works for me. And this also works for my very social kid. This is very motivating for her to be able to do something Friday night. She's going to get X, Y, Z done.
Well, and what a great way to show her how to put a little bit of work in order to gain a reward as well. I mean, that can be translated in so many different situations, whether it's to do well on a test or to achieve some sort of a goal that she might have for the week or for the summer. And it's just a great way to show a little bit here, a little bit there, and then you can achieve your goal.
Absolutely. And, you know, just going back for just a second to the summertime talk that we were talking about, I find that that can help during the summer, too, is to say, if you want to do some fun things this afternoon or do some screen time, then you need to get XYZ done this morning. And so it keeps them doing something productive before they play and reinforces that lesson.
Right. Oh, I'm just thinking of like a potty training chart right now in my head, and I'm having nightmares about it because it was very difficult to keep. And yet many mothers would say, oh, that's the key to potty training. And I'm like, I can't keep track. I can't keep track. So we just went to the food route. If you went pee in the potty, then we got you some M&Ms, and then that was good and immediate gratification. And somehow they went to kindergarten and they knew how to go to the bathroom. So it all worked out. No matter how you did
it
all worked out.
Absolutely.
Well, Linda, one of the things that my favorite chapters was just you talked about this need for self-care, that, you know, we do tend to put our care aside in order to make sure that our families are well taken care of. And one of the challenges, as you write about, is just that challenge of taking time to rest in this do more, do better world, that it's difficult to not get caught up in trying harder and doing better. And then our own care kind of gets pushed aside. And you have a really great perspective just on rest. What did you learn about yourself and what did you learn about God when it came to allowing rest for yourself?
Oh, wow. Well, again, going to the personality thing, my personality is very, and this is one thing that God's really been working on me over the years with, is just this performance-based mentality, you know, that I always have to be doing something in order to be productive, to measure up. And what I found through a series of events was that painful events, getting really burned out, my health suffering, my family suffering, was that I needed to take time to rest, not just physically rest, but mentally rest. And one thing that I have found really helpful over the last few years is I have taken Sundays just to unplug from anything on the computer. You know, just try to really rest from thinking about anything work-related and just try to enjoy my family and just to worship God. And what God has taught me through that, because we always think that if we do less, that we're going to be less productive, I found that recharging that I get makes me so much more joyful, more patient, more productive later on, and it's helped me to trust that God doesn't need me to be working or to feel like I'm measuring up all the time and doing all these things and running around like crazy. He will honor us. He honors it when we obey him when he tells us to rest. And I learned that I could trust that he was going to be faithful. And it didn't all rest on me. So
It really is an element of trust, isn't it? That if we set aside all that to-do list or things that we think we need to do in order to be productive, that it is putting trust in him to take care of whatever it is that we set aside in order to rest our bodies and to rest our souls. It's about trust, isn't it?
It really does come down to trust. And what I am learning, and God's really been doing this in my life over this last year, is that he's replacing this confidence that I have thought that I needed to build in myself. Because, I mean, how much do we hear about self-esteem and self-confidence? But he's begun to replace that with, Melinda, you need to build your confidence in me. You know, I will never fail you. Your human abilities are limited, but my abilities are unlimited. So you draw on my power that you can always have confidence in.
So what have you gained in kind of pulling back a little bit, whether it was a health concern that pulled you back or the stage of your children that pulled you back or just a realization that God can and does fill in those blanks for you? How has that changed just you and the way that you approach life?
Well, I would say that it has really, and I can say this because the stages that my kids are in, 16 and 19, and especially with my 19-year-old, it has allowed me to really pull back on my need for control. Mm-hmm. Because especially, like I said, with my 19-year-old who is, you know, she's pretty much financially independent, and I can't really send her to her room anymore. So, and she's, you know, just like all our kids, as they get older, they're going to make mistakes that we just cringe at, and we think, oh, I wish they'd just do it another way, and I could save them so much pain. And what I've really felt like God has been telling me to do is just pray for her, you know, pray for your son, love your children, set the boundaries, you know, especially with my one that's still at home, that you need to, but trust me to work on their hearts. And when I have done that, it has been so much, it's relaxed me. It's given me so much more peace. But it's the other benefit of it has been that my relationship with my kids has gotten so much better. Because, you know, those teenage years can be so contentious at times. And just pulling back on control has really made our relationship a lot more relaxed.
It's such an ebb and flow, isn't it? When you think about, you know, when they're babies, I would have given anything to just not have to be in control for a little bit. But you are, you have to be. And then the middle part of mothering where you kind of still have to be in control and make the decisions for your children. And then you hope when they become teenagers and they've learned everything that they've learned, then you really have to pull back, don't you?
You do. Because, I mean, you think about how we learned. I mean, my biggest teacher has been pain. We don't really make big changes in our lives until we experience pain. And yet I think as moms, our tendency is to want to save our kids from all pain. And, you know, certainly we are supposed to be protectors for our kids, but there's some pain that we just need to allow them to experience so that God can get their attention and begin to really work in their lives. And I know that I have sometimes circumvented that process by saving my kids instead of allowing them just to feel the pain that they needed to feel in order to open the door for God to do something in their hearts.
Mm. Oh, that's so true. And those little lessons that we teach them that we hope they hold on to, I remember I've said before, I stopped bringing things that my son forgot to school, and he forgot things. And one day I just said, I'm not going to come to school anymore and bring you what you forgot. And sure enough, the next day he forgot his lunch and I didn't bring it. And that was way back in early elementary school. And now as he's entering high school, he forgot an assignment. I didn't get a phone call. He worked it out with his teacher. It all worked out. And I just thought, well, those little things that we do when they're so little, really, they are gaining insight and control into their own behavior, even if we don't know it.
Absolutely. And, I've had pretty much the same story in my family, Joe, with the forgotten lunches and assignments and things. But, you just said that, your son worked it out with his teacher. And I just think that that's the other thing that it gives our kids. It empowers them to problem solve and to figure things out on their own instead of mom always swooping in there and saving the day.
Right, it's true. Sometimes it's good to let go of control. Well, I'm talking with Melinda Means today in her book, Mothering from Scratch, Finding the Best Parenting Style for You and Your Family. And that parenting style may be different than your next door neighbor or the mom down the street. And we're just embracing the joy in all of that. You can give us a call. We still have a book to give away, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, we will be right back with just a wrap up with Melinda Means. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Great to have you here this afternoon. Just a beautiful day here in Minnesota. I hope it's that way wherever you're listening today as well. Well, today I'm talking with author Melinda Means. She's a writer and a speaker and a blogger at Mothering from Scratch, which is motheringfromscratch.com. She's a women's ministry director at First Alliance Church in Florida. And in addition to being an author, she's also a very successful blogger. I said at the beginning of the show that sometimes she writes things that I think she stole from my head. She's a team leader of Moms Together, which is a highly interactive moms Facebook group, and she's also a regular contributor to the Mom Initiative and More to Be, which are mentoring sites for moms and young women. Melinda lives in Florida with her husband and two teenage children. Welcome. Melinda, one of the things that you had mentioned is that you have found other mothers who've been great mentors to you. Now it seems like you're kind of on the back end of that, where you're the person with the teenage daughter and son. Are you finding that you're able to kind of mentor mothers who are just coming along for the first time with some younger children?
Yes. And that has been so wonderful because I'll tell you why, is because I think that the longer that you're a mom, the more you can look back and think of all the mistakes that you've made.
Wait, that doesn't sound good.
All the things that, well, I'm getting to the good part. And all of the things that you wish you'd done differently. Mm. But also, the longer that you've been a mom, you have the perspective to see how God has redeemed those mistakes, how he has worked in spite of maybe the things that you don't think you're good at or that you're not doing well. I mean, again, it goes back to that trust that we've talked about and just relying on God to fill in for where we're going to fall short. And now that my kids are, in their mid to late teens, I can look back and I can see my mistakes more clearly, but I can also see God's redeeming power more clearly as well. And to be able to express that hope to younger moms is just, I love being able to do that because I just couldn't see that when I had younger ones. So that's another way I feel like, you know, God redeems our mistakes, is when we're able to share those things with other moms.
Oh, it's so interesting that you say that, because this, I was just speaking to a MOPS group, Mothers of Preschools, for preschoolers, for those of you who were probably in one or maybe you're getting in one. And I was speaking and they started asking me questions, and I realized as I was sitting there, oh my goodness, I am the person of experience here. I need to be able to impart wisdom here. And I had never thought of myself as being on that other side, but I no longer had a preschooler. And all of a sudden my words were kind of gold, and I realized I better make them gold. But I kind of talked about the message that you just gave, which is there is really no single scenario, a single way that you should be raising a child. If you're focusing on Christ first, then he's going to make that work in the way that's best for you. And just like you say, the best way for your family. And I also love that you mentioned Jill Savage's book, No More Perfect Moms, because the two books should be on every young mom shelf.
Yeah, she has some really wonderful, freeing things to say in her book about just letting go of that ideal picture that we have in our heads about the kind of mom that we have to be. And it's just, I have found that that's been one of the most freeing things for me, is to be able to let go of the ideal picture and embrace the picture that God wants to give me for my mothering and my children and my family.
Well, it seems like that message can really reverberate to other relationships as well. In fact, we had Mary Cullett from Maple Grove who said basically that you can look at this message and apply it to being a wife or being a friend. Mm-hmm. That there doesn't have to be a one-way track.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It carries over into so many areas, and not just even relationships, but this has really changed how I approach ministry too, because I would always think, or your job, I would always think that I had to do ministry or do my job like someone else, that it needed to look like somebody else's ministry or the way that somebody else did their job. And what when we begin to say, you know what, God has a very unique path for me. Again, that's what really brought the joy back to my ministry and to doing my job, and was realizing I don't have to do it like anybody else does it. I just have to follow what God is leading me to do. So I think that's a really great point. Relationships, but also just other areas of our lives as well.
Well, Melinda, we just thank you so much for joining us today. And that's just such a great sentiment to end on, that we do things the way that God has specifically created us to do things. And I thank you for just bringing that message to light for all the moms who are listening today, or for maybe some grandmoms who are listening as well.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Joe. It was great.
Well, absolutely. Have a great weekend. And if you're listening today and you have some things planned for the weekend, I hope you enjoy those as well. And I just wanted to mention one thing that's going on right now, that's starting today, our Live Free Challenge. If you listen to Faith Radio, I'm sure you've heard all about it. You can join thousands who are taking the whole month of August to physically sacrifice on behalf of trafficking victims by logging miles and raising money to aid in the rescue, intervention, and rehabilitation of these victims. You can sign up online before July 22nd, so you have a little bit if you want to get a free t-shirt. You can choose a mileage goal, you can walk, you can run, you can bike, any way to move and get that fundraising goal to help raise over $50,000 to rescue these lives. You can learn more about this. Funds will go directly to International Justice Mission. Just go to our website at myfaithradio.com, or you can go to the livefreechallenge.org to learn more. And I hope you'll sign up so we can raise some money for those who are struggling. Thanks so much for joining us on Connecting Faith today. We'll be back next week with more information and inspiration for you on your journey and your walk with Christ. Have a great day.